You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The Cleveland Browns Radiothon kicks off Tuesday, September 15th at 9 a.m. for 28 straight hours right here on ESPN 850. It's your chance to bid on amazing Browns experiences and prizes exclusively on air, including a charter fishing trip with Joe Thomas, attending Super Bowl 50 in San Francisco, heading to a Cavs game with Joe Hayden, traveling with the Browns to Seattle to take on the Seahawks, and apparently having dinner with me. I don't know if that's going to help or hurt the bid, but apparently that's what's happening.
Can we throw me in and just help that bid? No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, you are ridiculously good looking. More prizes and experiences can be bid on now.
I'm just trying to help.
On the Browns mobile app and ClevelandBrowns.com. To get full details on all available prizes and experience on how you can bid on them, visit ClevelandBrowns.com or the Browns mobile app. They're also selling a couple autographed camouflage jerseys, auctioning them off.
I saw them.
Yeah, hot fire.
I saw a huge stack of them all signed.
Hot fire.
Hot fire. Look great.
You know who's I want?
And I got a guy that'll frame it.
You know,
and does
do
a
you?
Great job. He did my Super Bowl jersey. Yeah, it's my guys at Ohio Sports Memorabilia. They're the best.
I need him to
the
frame
best.
Your jersey that you gave me.
Yeah. He'll do it. He'll hook you up.
I want the Pierre Desir.
They're the best.
Pierre Desir is one of the camo jerseys on the
site.
I want
the Danny Shelton. I'll have to go get a double wide frame.
It's already up in a big time. It's already up like that one's, I think, almost $1,000 already.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I saw the stack.
I saw it once.
Good luck.
All right, let's talk about last night's game for a second.
Sure.
Neither of these teams that good on defense, but what they both could do is score the football. I mean, in reality, this game should have been much closer. And in fact, the Steelers, I thought, had every chance to win this game. Josh Scobie came out a little bit rusty in the early going, missing his first two field goals
rusty
for this team.
He was traded.
Yeah, but
like
I don't know.
He was cut.
I don't know if it's
football.
Hard to go from Florida to Pennsylvania and then up
humid Jacksonville.
Yeah, so he did not look good. But here's my key takeaway. You ready?
Yes. Drop the numbers on me.
These teams, neither one of them had their starting center. The Patriots started all three interior linemen were rookies. The center was undrafted. He was an undrafted free agent. Pittsburgh's offensive line has not been a strong suit for a long time and was without their best offensive lineman. And yet, D'Angelo Williams averaged 6 yards a carry.
Saw that.
Deion Lewis averaged 4.6 yards a carry.
And they flashed.
They were able to run the football. They averaged 9.2 yards per attempt passing for the Steelers, 9 yards per attempt passing for the Patriots. Their offensive lines weren't good. They did not line up and play smash mouth football at all.
Nope.
They said, okay, what's important in the NFL these days? Having a quarterback that can process information quickly, get the football out quickly and accurately, spread you out, and then you all of a sudden have an advantage in the box. They were running all those inside handoffs out of shotgun. They run like two running plays, and yet both teams ran effectively. And it just goes to show, it doesn't matter how good your offensive line is to run the football. I mean, it matters on some level, but what really helps a running game more than anything is an unbelievable passing game. Playmakers out wide that defenses are concerned with. And I think that's what people see this. And the Browns, they say, don't have those playmakers out wide, and they don't have that quarterback. So it's going to be tough. It's like running into a wall. You're making your offensive job more difficult. And I thought last night it just stood out so apparently. And also, the other thing that stood out is the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is bad.
Yes, they are.
I mean, that back end is awful, and they're going to have a tough time winning because they're only going to be able to win, and I know you can only win by outscoring your opponent, but I mean by outscoring your opponent in like a track meet week after week after week.
I agree, and so I throw this question back to you, and I've done the math. Taking our first six offensive linemen and averaging the rounds that they were picked, we average a first-round pick at every position along the offensive line, including Cam Irving, the starting six guys. So that mentality you just talked about is not the mentality that's in this building. So is that a lot of the reason why a Cleveland Browns fan is so frustrated, you know, draft after draft with guys no longer being here, and then this year we go Danny Shelton, which was a complete home run as it sits right now with our ability to stop the run and play great defense. But then to go offensive line with that second pick, is that a luxury pick or is that something that we're setting up the future for with the question around Alex Mack?
Well, you are, but then it becomes interesting, right? For what the Browns want to do offensively, your center is critically important. You saw it with Alex Mack.
Yes.
For what the Steelers and the Patriots want to do, a center is completely unimportant.
Right.
So it's an interesting difference. But the difference is you have that quarterback who can run that offense. And you have those playmakers. To be fair, Pittsburgh's playmakers are much better, and they didn't even have Martavis Bryant. New England's playmakers out wide, other than Gronk, now he changes everything,
yeah,
aren't that good. Julian Edelman is nice. Scheme. It's the scheme.
It's the scheme.
Deion Lewis steps right in and puts up and hangs, you know, 120 total yards on you.
Right.
The scheme. Scheme allows people to do that, but the talent of your quarterback is the absolute
key. It is. And that's where the scheme that we have here and what I've seen offensively, being a defensive player, it will give a defense fits because of the matchups that we're trying to create, because of the shifts in motions, what it forces us to do. And that's what happened to Pittsburgh in some cases last night. And Randy Starks, you know, our guest early in the show, alluded to what a defense doesn't want to do is go out there and have miscommunications, forcing guys to play out of position or be in a matchup that you don't like, or having to take a defensive timeout. We saw on multiple occasions the best player besides Tom Brady on the New England Patriots team, which is Rob Gronkowski, have no one cover him. No one.
How does that happen?
After a play that they run, they come back to the quick huddle. He walks as if he's tired out to about 3 yards from the sideline, and no one from the Steelers knows he's out there. And Brady, of course, hurry snaps it, throws the ball to him, and you'll take Gronk on anybody,
one-on-one.
And it's just, to me, if you understand what you're capable of doing, and I think if you're John DeFilippo and Josh McCown and you're realistic about this team, is you know where your ceiling is, okay?
Sure.
Let's try to get as close to that ceiling and limit the mistakes each and every week. When you try to exceed that consistently by being something you're not, it's an epic failure waiting to happen.
It is. I thought it was just an interesting game to watch the contrasting styles of two very, very successful franchises and how they approach this game offensively, because they can. They have Tom Brady and they have Ben Roethlisberger. Those are the keys. They each have a scheme buster on the end in the passing game, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski. So I think where the frustration comes with people is you had a very good, the best wide receiver draft maybe ever a year ago, didn't address the position. This year, another very good wide receiver draft. And the one guy that you took didn't make your 53. And the other guy who is supposed to be your hope to be a playmaker or a difference maker or a scheme buster out wide, Terrell Pryor, is also no longer here.
Right.
If 4 days later. So I think that's where that comes from with these people. 216-578-0850. Phil in Brecksville, welcome to the show.
Nathan, Matt, this conversation that you guys just had just makes me feel worse than better. Look, I think this is black and white. Nathan, you said it. Ever since the Theodore Bridgewater conversations a couple years ago, Nathan, I appreciate what you say and your personnel moves. I'd be interested in what person you think needs to be cut. But the question is, it's black and white with me. Either Farmer and Patton don't get together, which you think that they do, I guess I'll respect, or they don't make good decisions. I mean, there are just too many bad decisions that go along that people just say, what the heck? I mean, you keep Thaddeus Lewis for a year, and all of a sudden he's gone. I mean, they just go on and on and on and on and on with decisions that are just questionable. You know, they don't draft a wide receiver. Heck, I can't even watch Minnesota or Oakland play. You know, I look at the Oakland Raiders play, all I see is if we were to stand pat, Khalil Mack and David Carr, pretty good. You know, Teddy Bridgewater, I can't even watch him. So if they are, in that case, making, you know, on the same page, then they're just making bad decisions.
I think that, you know, ultimately, they have brought in a lot of talent to this team, and I think that a lot of people, you know, they've added some good young talent, as we pointed out time and time again. I think people want to see, you know, those difference makers. Danny Shelton looks that way. Cam Irving, you drafted in the first round this year. We don't know how he'll be used, maybe in some jumbo packages if they decide to go that route with him, but right now it stands as he's a backup. The playmakers that you have drafted would be in the first round, Johnny Manziel 2 years ago, not going to play in week one. Terrence West, who you traded up for to get in the third round last year, no longer with the football team, he's been traded. Vince Maley in the fourth round last year, he has been cut. Duke Johnson is the only one that is expected to play for you or play any significant minutes for you in week number one against the Jets. So that's, I think, where, you know, people, you want to see playmakers on this team. And you can go back in a lot of drafts and you can say, well, if you'd done this, it would have worked out.
Sure.
You're absolutely right. You can play 2020. Now, if Johnny Manziel, maybe it takes him 3 years coming from that spread offense. But if in 3 years from now, Johnny Manziel is the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, or whether it's next year, 2 years from now, any time in his rookie contract, he becomes a starting quarterback and it becomes a good starter for his career, that draft then ultimately becomes successful. Justin Gilbert, jury very much still out. So I see why people are puzzled. Charles Johnson, that move, I get it. I totally get it. I think that the Terrell Pryor one is kind of being overblown, but I think it comes in, you know, in a less than a week period, that Terrence West, Vince Maley, and Terrell Pryor all of whom were added to be quote-unquote playmakers to your team, two via the draft in the third and fourth rounds, and then one who was your big project that you signed, are all gone in less than a week's time. And
yeah.
I think people are having a little bit of a tough time with that.
It is.
And I
think,
get it.
You know, and for the caller, thank you very much for the call. And I know in most cases, you tune into this radio station, this time slot for optimism and critical thinking when it comes to football and Cleveland Browns. And all we're essentially doing is keeping it real. This is a concern, you know, for us that sometimes gets overshadowed with positivity and what happens at practice and training camp and the news that's surrounding this football team. But we're dealing in the right now, and we're dealing with, you know, our thoughts and feelings about this certain subject. And in some cases, we can be, you know, posed as shills because we work for this organization, but these are our concerns, you know, and it's concerning to our fan base simply by, you know, your Twitter feedback and so on and so forth. And all we're doing is just laying it all out there and having a conversation about
sure.
it. And it can't always be good.
Sure. And listen, the truth of the matter is right now,
listen,
if you took either of the offenses, the Browns' defense is better than either defense that you saw last night.
Yes, 100%.
100%. And I would argue at every single level of the defense on all three. I think the Browns had the best defensive line that would have been on the field last night.
Better outside linebackers.
Certainly. Inside linebackers, maybe the Patriots are pretty good.
Nah,
so, and so
the
are
Steelers,
the Steelers as
too,
well.
Yeah.
But secondaries, there's not even a close comparison between the
Jordan
Browns.
Poyer and Ibrahim Campbell would be starting for both secondaries.
Certainly the Steelers. I think that, well, maybe you'd move Devin McCourty to corner or whatever, but other than
Patrick
that,
Chung?
Yes. Yeah, fine, absolutely. McCourty's an elite player. That's
okay.
Only elite player in either
fine.
Secondary. But when you look at this team, you know, if you put either of these offenses, and I'm talking about an offense that's featuring Deion Lewis, Edelman, et cetera, if you put different offenses, those offenses here, people would be, you'd be talking Super Bowl. If you put that quarterback here, people would be talking Super Bowl. So they're trying to build it in a way, and you've heard them say it, that unfortunately, given what they have to work with, because you can't just get a franchise quarterback. Now, they had people would say, you had the opportunity to draft Teddy Bridgewater. You had the opportunity to draft Carr. You had the opportunity to draft anybody other than Blake Bortles last year. People are saying not happy with that. But let's see with Johnny. He's still in his developmental process. I believe this offense under John DeFilippo, from what I've seen and the way that it's going to scheme, is actually going to get the most out of the talent that is here.
Right.
Is it going to be a high firepower offense?
No.
No. But is it going to be enough? And as we said all along, can this team score enough points to win the games that this defense puts them in position to win? That will be the question and the defining question of the 2015 Cleveland Browns.
And the one thing that I want to repeat that was said by ESPN Cleveland's own Tony Grossi as a part of the Really Big Show's roundtable that was from 11 to 1 today, and I thought it was something that I want to throw out there. He made mention of, are the Colts actually contender for the Super Bowl? And he said, yes, because of Andrew Luck. And then he went on to say that if we had Andrew Luck and there was just a simple quarterback swap, that the Cleveland Browns are a Super Bowl contender with Andrew Luck, because he believes that the skill players here in Cleveland and the defense here in Cleveland absolutely are better than what the Indianapolis Colts have. So it's all about the quarterback.
All about the quarterback. When we come back, we're going to continue to have you call your shots, 216-578-0850.
We've got one shot called. Call
That's
up,
it.
People. Call your shot.
Call
Give
your
us
shot.
Some numbers. It's Sunday.
Yes.
It's football. Come on.
216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.